Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Matt Emmert.
Hi, and I'm Tim Murdoch.
Hi.
Hey, you.
Hey, guys, it's Tim.
Oh.
Oh, Tim.
We lost an hour.
I know. You know what? When this episode comes out, it'll be a week after, but we just had daylight savings.
I'll never catch up. Never.
Daylight savings time is the worst.
You know, I don't want to see anything longer.
Well, you know, I just don't like losing time. Actually, why do we even have to change clocks, Tim?
You know, didn't the political people talk about, like, let's not do that anymore?
The political people?
You know, the government.
I don't know. There's some places, I think Arizona doesn't do it.
They're just like, F that.
They're like, hey, why can't we just keep our clocks the same?
Right. And you, I thought you said something else.
Let's just keep our clocks the same. That's what you thought I said.
You're filthy.
Because you're dirty.
No, so, I'm not.
So, Tim, how you doing? I heard you went to a special event last night.
I did. I went to an HRC event. Which,
Human Rights Campaign,
yes,
for people.
Yes, I felt it was very ritzy. And, you know, I sat next to a guy. And at the end, he told me he was married. So that was fun.
The Human Rights Campaign is a great charity that does a lot for LGBTQ rights. And, Tim, what the fuck were you doing there?
I looking back when we didn't have the right to get married, I didn't do much. So I feel a little bad that I do feel bad that I did literally had no.
But you knew. How did you get there again? You knew who?
It was my brother's fraternity brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, I proudly give to that charity.
You do?
Every,
do you
every
really?
Year. Yeah, every
oh
year.
Oh, my God. I
probably
should start.
Probably since 2008 or something.
I am it really
just,
impressed.
It was like one of the first, and I'm not even saying that to like pat myself
we
on the back.
We have no connection to HRC.
No.
We're
we
not
do
doing,
not.
They didn't ask us to do this.
It was like one of the first charities that I knew about that really fought for LGBTQ rights. And like they were really evolved in like, against Prop 8 in 2008 and just going for marriage equality, and now they're just fighting for anything related to equality, and now right. This sounds like a public service
and
announcement.
And let's, you know, this is all I'm going
to
say.
So wait, so I should have gone to this
you
effing dinner.
You actually should have. But, you know.
Tim went and he sat next to a married guy.
Yeah, well, you know, we had some chemistry, me and this gentleman, and then I actually told him to listen to the podcast, so maybe he's listening.
Oh my God. Hey, if you're listening out there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, you know, protect the innocent. But
well,
yeah,
if you're listening out there, Tim loves you.
I think he's a hottie.
I was about to say, did he get his name? But we aren't going to say his
name. Yeah, we're being polite.
Well, that's cool because all I did last night was binge Marvelous Mrs. Maisel with Jacob.
You know, I can't watch that show. It reminds me too much of them Gilmore Girls, and they talk too much.
How, you know, I will say that season 4 is not as great as I was hoping. Like, the last few seasons have been amazing, and this season is like, eh.
A lot of people have told me to watch that show because I have done stand-up.
Oh, here we go. But tell us about being from Ohio.
From Ohio?
From Ohio. You know, it is. See, I always was told to watch a show because I'm Jewish, and it's like a Jewish family, and it's so Jewish. How many times can I say Jewish?
Let's 10 more times.
Jewish. And, you know, I'm Jewish and she's Jewish. And when you're Jewish, there's a lot of Jewish.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. No, but she is a comedian and it is, I mean, you would get it from stand up. In fact, when I was watching it, I was remembering.
You were thinking of me.
No, not at all. Oh. But I was remembering because she's actually really good. But I'm.
Right.
No.
I always bombed.
Just kidding. I was actually, no joke, thinking about how I missed seeing you do stand up last night as we were watching because we, you know, she's a comedian and I was like, I remember when Tim used to do shows. It was fun.
I know. It was a good time. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yes. What do you have to search? Tim Murdoch bombing.
Tim Murdoch bombing. Yes.
Tim Murdoch
that
bombs.
That sounds like I'm like a terrorist. I'm not.
No. Actually, what would you search? Tim Murdoch stand-up?
Tim Murdoch
stand-up?
YouTube
you search
stand-up.
Where you'd go to YouTube and search you, Tim Murdoch YouTube.
Right. You'd put in Tim Murdoch YouTube. It gets weird.
It's so weird. No, you should check out Tim's stand-up. He's very funny.
Oh, Matt,
and it
thank
kinda,
you.
It kind of stopped right around the pandemic, right?
Yeah. I thought about doing the stand-up thing online, but I was just like, I can't do it.
That
I
is
can't.
Weird.
It's just
I know.
Weird.
It's like you tell a joke, there's no reaction.
No, I can't. I need that instant gratification. I need a live audience. I need that. And plus, I like to talk to the audience. I like people.
It's true. I remember that one show where we got like a huge amount of people together, including Tim's roommate came and you were like, and you made fun of him at the show, which I loved because
and
it
then
was
he
like,
showed up. So then I was like, oh, I got to rearrange this material.
What did you say? You were like, you know, I wouldn't call him a sassy bitch, but or you said something like that.
No, it was along those lines.
Yeah, it was funny. And I remember he's like, oh.
Yeah. So I had to like,
I want to be made fun of at a stand-up show.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I liked, not that I'd ever, like, I'm not like Andrew Dice Clay. I don't gun for people. You
oh,
know.
Good use.
Right. I like that I'm using like an old time comedian.
I know. People are like, is your audience?
They're like, hey, Amy Schumer.
50 plus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, but anyway, you should do stand up again. And I think that listeners would not be that shocked to hear that you used to do stand up.
Oh,
you know, because you're so funny.
Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, but now you should do another show because
I know
it's time.
Hey, hang on. I'm going to put down my microphone for 1 second. I'm burning up. Your room is hot.
Oh, okay. We are filming in, we always film in my room at our house, but you know, I do live in the valley.
Well, we're not filming.
Sorry. Right. True. We're sitting here. You know, it's funny. Just so our listeners know, Jacob started putting up some of our interviews on YouTube. So we do have, if you want to search Happy Horror Time on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel, but really it's just the audio versions of our interviews. So it's the same as a podcast. But someone responded and said, oh, you should really put up the video from these. And I wanted to be like, we don't have
No one
that.
Needs to see what I look like right
well,
now.
Well, also, actually, that's not true. When we do interviews, we do them over Zoom and we do record the video, but we tell all the people we're interviewing we're only releasing audio. Audio,
which
so
is true.
We can't go and be like, oh, just kidding. We released a video, you know?
Right. I mean, some people are ready and some people, you know, it's a casual Sunday fun day.
It is funny that some people we've interviewed are like 100% camera ready, like full makeup, like, and then other people are just kind of like in casual attire like us.
Yeah. I mean,
how often do we dress up for interviews, Kim?
I put some hairspray in.
How dare
you? You mean bitch.
You're a mean girl. You're a bitch.
That's right.
Okay, well, I think it's about time to get started.
I'm ready.
We've got two movies for you today. What a surprise. Our first one, we're really excited to talk about because before we even watched it, I don't know about you, but like I heard from 3 to 4 different people like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? You got to watch this. You got to watch this. So we're like, yes, we're watching. But I guess right when it came out, there was a lot of
buzz
about it. And you wouldn't probably know it was a horror movie even
by
the
title
or the title. Yeah. And it's on Hulu and it's called
Fresh.
Uh-huh. As in the opposite of stale.
Fresh. I will say I was so excited to see it because a lot of people did reach out, but I thought I had no clue from the trailer what it was about.
I knew it was a dating story gone wrong, and I knew by the title I was like, fresh, is it like fresh meat? Like I put together that it may be something cannibalistic, but they don't give it away in the trailer,
which
is smart.
I think the one thing is there was one ad where it was like a foot or a hand inside what looks like where they hold meat.
There was one ad where it was like, hey, this movie's about cannibals, fresh.
Right. And then like it might be about cannibals.
It is. I mean, it's a perfect title, but I think it's smart that they made it more like it was like the woes of dating, but something going really wrong. I guess.
Will say I could relate to some of the scenes in the movie, not the cannibal parts, but
I was gonna say, what scenes did you remember? You when you were locked up and like they were
terrible.
Like using your meat. It's a whole nother story when I say your meat, am I right?
Right.
Okay, first we have to talk about the genius of that. Okay, this movie is a long movie, I will say this, but
an hour and 56 minutes.
But you will not be disappointed because first off, the pre-credit scene lasts 33 minutes until the credits come up. So you want to talk about long opening scene. It's more like long opening chapter. The very, very beginning, though, is kind of funny. I do want to talk about the very first scene. They introduce, like, the main girl who is named Noah. She's played by Daisy Edgar-Jones.
And she's only 24 years old. She's born in 98. And when I hear that someone's born in 98, I feel extra, extra, extra
you mean,
old.
Considering we had already graduated high school by then?
Yeah, I was 2 years out.
That is crazy. So she's like, obviously she's on dating apps and she goes out with a guy and
he's cute.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The first thing you think is, oh, he's really cute. But he turns out to be like the rudest asshole. I couldn't help but laugh because he kind of looks at her and he's like, you know, in our parents' generation, I really liked how women actually cared how they looked.
Which, where do you go from there? Like, and that's when you get up and leave.
Like, well, like literally saying she is not put together enough. Or he's like, you know, and women really tried to be more feminine. And I'm just like, oh my God.
But even if it was more tacky even before that. He's like, don't forget to bring cash. They only take cash.
Oh, yes. And she, right from there, obviously realizes this guy is a misogynistic asshole. And she's like trying to leave. And he's like, oh, okay, so it looks like you owe 22. They're on a date. He's asking her what she owes. Mm-hmm. But the best is, remember how, and then he, like, they walk outside and he says something generic like, we should do this again, and she, which I always think is
honest.
Admirable, yeah, at the end of the day she's like, you know, I felt like there really wasn't much of a connection. He's like, oh fine, you stuck up bitch, or what did he do?
Yeah, no, he said, he goes, well, I was just being polite, you bitch.
Yeah, you bitch. Like, and he walks off, and I'm just like, wow.
I mean, she also said wow. She goes, wow.
She really was funny, like, but it was such a, like, there are really people like that in dating.
And you should be happy you're out of the dating game, Matthew.
I mean,
because it is a game.
I know, but let me just tell you, I have did it for years and years and years and years.
That's
and years.
True. And I don't like you single.
I have been, how dare you? I have experienced everything in the book. I've experienced every type of asshole, every type of great person, every type of, every situation
there
you
was
think
a joke
of.
There, but I'm not gonna touch
oh,
it.
Oh, what are you trying to say? Is it you, like, but, slutty joke or something?
Well, that too. But I mean, like, so you're telling me you experienced cannibals?
Okay, you're right. Okay, maybe not every situation, but what this very, very, like, opening scene leads us into Daisy, the girl. She's just like, dating is not working for me. I can't do it anymore. And right away they introduce, she has her friend, her really good friend,
Molly.
Molly. Really cool. I think she's bisexual because she's dating a woman now.
Well,
but
she
used
does
to
say,
men.
Like, I don't know how you do it because it's easier to be a lesbian or something.
But then they talk about how she used to date guys.
The bartender.
She had dated the bartender. Yeah. So maybe she's fluid, whatever. We don't know. They don't, not a big
open
deal.
Open to interpretation.
Yeah. So then that leads Noah to, she's in a supermarket and she organically meets our other main star, who is Steve, and he's played by, you'll definitely recognize him, Sebastian Stan. He's
which
only,
I can't, before you go on, I did not know, I was not familiar with him.
I'm shocked.
I know.
He's in so much. Okay, for not only is he the Winter Soldier and all the, like, Captain America
I don't
movies,
watch those movies.
Even if you don't watch him, he was in I, Tonya. He's on right now, Pam and Tommy. He plays Tommy Lee.
I'm not watching that, but I will.
Oh no. And he's just in a ton of stuff. He
I know.
Be funny. He can be serious. Like, and he's really cute.
He's super cute, but, like, he's one of those actors that's like he is, he can transform into the character. So, like, I know that I saw I, Tonya, but I did not recognize him right off the bat.
He played Tonya Harding.
I know. He was an ice skater. He's,
I mean,
so good.
It really good. You would have never recognized him.
I know. And
him.
Just to be able to ice skate.
So Sebastian Stan plays it, and she meets him at the supermarket, and he's kind of being, like, funny, cheesy, bad pickup lines, but either way, like, they exchange numbers and they go out and
they fall in love.
Well, they actually have a really good date. They end up sleeping together.
That's a good date.
And that is a good date. Yeah. And she, like, right away really likes him because I guess she's had, again, so much trouble on dating apps. And she meets him, and you think, like, wow, he's cool, he's easygoing, and even though they've only been dating a little bit, he invites her to go away on, like, to, like, a weekend trip with her.
Right, but first off, Molly, her friend, sorry, I got something in my throat. So Molly says, like, well, where are you going? Like, but she's kind of concerned. Like,
yeah,
you
well,
just met
she
him.
Thinks that it's a little early to go away on the weekend, and she, like, wants their location, and of course, the furthest thing from Noah's mind is that there's anything wrong with this guy, but he does say, hey, before we go to this, it's like this college or something, let's stop and spend the night at my place and we'll leave in the morning. And Molly is concerned and just, like, you know, always wanting her to make sure she tells her where she is. And Noah goes to his place and he has this beautiful, huge place. He's obviously rich.
He's got a nice car and a nice house.
Yeah. And so they're at his place and they're drinking and he gives her a drink.
Oh, gosh. This is like the big, like, after this movie, I'm always now a little, because I know I just saw this movie a few days ago. But
always
if someone
watch
me,
someone making you a drink.
Yes.
That's I think, the lesson here. I mean,
and there's also a Dateline I just saw, or maybe it was 2020, I can't remember, where the mother was, she murdered her husband, her son, with antifreeze. Did you see that?
No,
it's called Home. Instead of Home Sweet Home, the episode's called Home Sweet Murder.
I mean, I feel like that's great. Sounds like a Lifetime movie. I feel like if you're at the point where you can't even trust your family, like that's pretty bad.
Well, but... oh, and the best thing is not the best thing, but the mom in the 2020, she said, she goes, well, my family was annoying me.
You know, there's definitely don't leave the family. Definitely kill them.
Right. Antifreeze is the answer.
Definitely. So,
do you have a frog in your throat?
I just like started to like choke on nothing, but luckily I have water because I'd be coughing the whole time. So anyway, he gives her a drink, and there's this uncomfortable scene where, as the audience, you know that her drink's been drugged because he starts to suddenly get creepy, and he's like, oh, what extra flavors do you taste in there?
Yeah.
And she starts naming off different fruits as she slowly starts getting out of it.
He's getting blurry. Everything's getting blurry. She's literally falling to the ground.
I know. And at that point, and then she just, like, collapses. Well,
I was pissed because I really wanted this couple to succeed.
You're like, I wanted to watch a movie about just a nice love story. Right. It is funny that the entire pre-credit scene... it could be just a rom-com.
Right. Like, there's 33 minutes of them just getting along and dating and, you know, having a connection only for him to...
Well, it's... yeah, for the first 33 minutes, it really isn't a horror movie until...
and they then, get right, to that house.
Yes. And then when she wakes up... well, the credits flash then, and then she wakes up and she is...
handcuffed.
Handcuffed in a room... and she, like, he comes in there, and she, of course, is freaking out. Because, I'm sorry, but if you ever wake up handcuffed in a room, your odds of survival are probably...
right. I mean, someone who has...
yeah, you're like, as someone who has, but that was just a sex game.
No. I would not... I
can't even imagine how...
anti-handcuffs.
Anti-handcuffs.
I am.
For all reasons.
For
even
all
if you're
reasons.
Fun.
No,
even for criminals at all.
For fun and for... well, I don't know. Criminals, I guess, need it.
She is totally freaks out. And I will say the actress, Daisy Edgar Jones, like something about the performance
it's
when she
so
first
good.
Wakes up and realizes she's like, she's just like, it,
Steve,
you
let
see
me
it
out.
Processing
yeah.
slowly. And it is just so well done.
I agree.
It's so realistic because it's not like she doesn't freak out right away and she doesn't take too long. It's just so real the way she has her breakdown.
No, it is such a good breakdown, especially when she's like, Steve, like, let me out.
Like, let me out. Like, you're joking, right?
She's
you're
like,
joking.
We had a connection and now you're being
yeah,
like,
and again, as that's why, like, a realistic portrayal of anything is that your mind wouldn't immediately realize, oh my God, I'm doomed. Like, you would, it would take you some time. You'd be like, this can't be right. Like,
right.
this can't be. This
and
can't
you know,
be.
The whole time, I think she looks like Anne Hathaway, and I forgot that she's 24 and he's 40.
Yes, and that's the thing. I will say they do. You can see the age difference in the way they look. Sebastian Stan is hot, but he does look older
he's
than
she
does.
He's a man of a certain age.
Yeah.
As someone in the same age bracket, I relate.
You mean 5 years older than him?
Well, I will be in April, but who's keeping track?
So she's freaking out, and basically he explains to her that he's kind of, I guess, like a butcher of human meat. Like, he harvests and takes meat from women to sell to really rich, sick people who pay for human meat.
Well, it wasn't people, it was men. Like, no. He wasn't selling it to women, was he?
I think so,
when they showed flashes,
yeah,
it was
right,
only
right.
men. Because I don't think women would eat women.
No, rich
or men.
Businessmen. And she even asked, she's like, is it just women? And he says, yes. And he said something about, oh, and he also says, and I love how he thinks this will comfort her. He's like, don't worry, I'll keep you alive as long as I can, because actually being alive keeps the meat fresh.
Right, which is such
title.
A disturbing thing.
It is so disturbing. So at this point in the movie, you're thinking, is he slowly going to be cutting parts of her off? Like, is this going to be like that movie Boxing Helena, which was...
yeah, it also kind of reminded me of Saw, but Saw is like in a grungy, dingy place.
Oh, yeah.
This
Saw,
movie was like
hurt,
a beautiful
be a,
house.
Saw, also, they'd be like exploding her
right.
head and also... but
and
it's just,
she's not the only one.
No, and she can hear across the walls, like, there's other women being held in captivity.
One girl is like... losing her mind and just singing, and then the girl right next to her is named Penny, and
yes.
they actually have conversations like they've got dreams of escaping.
Is exactly, and she is just thinking. Well, she thinks that she's gonna. At first, she tries to just say, "Can I take a shower?" And he thinks, "Okay, but don't try anything funny." Well, what does she do? She tries to escape when he's taking her to the shower. He knocks her out, and then she wakes up. And what's happening as she wakes up, Tim?
I can't remember.
He's wow. He is removing her butt.
That's right, her butt cheeks.
But she is completely, I mean, like, such a nice guy.
How could I forget that?
He gives her an epidural so she doesn't feel anything, but he's like, well, you have to learn a lesson. I've removed your buttocks.
Yeah, and then they show her, like, when she's sitting down, she has, like, a cushion.
It's like, first off, all I was thinking was, your butt, the reason butts usually are, like, cushiony is because it, you know, it supports you when you sit down. If you were sitting down and there's no, like, tissue there or something, it would be painful every time, even when it healed. Like, so all I thought was, there goes her social life. No, just kidding.
No, but I mean, you can, I think, actually, I've heard plastic surgery wise, anything butt around implants? The butt is like the most painful.
I guess I'm thinking just, again, sitting down forever would be the most painful thing.
But I mean, like, it's something that can be repaired. Yeah, I mean, oh, I know. I'm just looking at, like, the.
No, it is horrible. And so anyway, she realizes that. You know, she's not going to be able to fight this at this point because, you know, anything she does, he's going to keep removing body parts for us. And she remembers, she'll hear little things like him taking the other women from the other rooms out. And what I think the movie does well is that, look, there are some really uncomfortable, gross scenes in here, but you're not, like, seeing him, like, sawing body parts off. You do see the aftermath. Like, sometimes you'll see a leg or you'll see some meat. And there are some gross parts.
That's not really the focus of the movie. The focus of the movie is the person that's being held is like, it's kind of like for, as a viewer, like mentally, what would I do? And that's the way I was.
And I guess what I'm trying to, the reason I say that is because, like, for instance, my mom was asking me about this movie.
She saw it?
No, she loves horror. And she asked me, and right when she heard, oh, cannibals, that sounds really gross. And I'm like, you know, but it actually, there are some scenes that are uncomfortable, but they don't treat it in a gory way. There's a lot of shots that, like, you don't quite see anything being cut. You don't quite see the gore.
Right. And it's also, it is gross. Doesn't it remind you of American Psycho, which, when was that movie made? 2000 something?
2000.
Remember, like, he sings and he dances a little bit?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sebastian Stan is so far removed
from reality.
And also any empathy. Like, he obviously doesn't have any empathy for the women he's doing this
for. But he kind of likes Noah.
He starts to develop. Well, as we move forward, Noah realizes that her only strategy to escape is
going
to be to play the game and, like, try to forge enough of a connection with him that maybe he will, like, take her out, or that he won't have her handcuffed, or maybe make him think she really likes him. In fact, when he gives her a magazine, she sees something written in it that must have been from a former girl that says, if you're reading this, that means he likes you, use it.
So then she has the brilliant idea of being like, what's it taste like?
Oh, for humans. Well, there's a little bit of a side thing going on also. I don't want to forget.
Her friend Molly.
Yeah.
Yummy a Coke.
Her friend Molly realizes that, first off, Noah stopped texting her back. So she knows she's missing. And Noah is like, oh, I remember I used to date this bartender who served Noah and the guy at a bar. And she's trying to get info from the bartender. He's like, I can't give you info. She's like, look, Noah's missing, please. Finally gives her, like, I think the name or
the name. And so she Googles the name and then she gets in her car and goes to the house.
Well, she finds pictures of the guy.
And he's got a family.
That look like the picture that Noah had sent her. And yes, he's got a family. He's going by a different name, not Steve. It was Brendan. And she does go to the house.
So then she gets to the house and, like, there's a mom there and she's this beautiful blonde and she sits down and they have this really awkward conversation, like, you know, I don't want to break this to you, but your husband's having an affair. And she's like, okay.
And right then, as a viewer, you're like, she's in on it.
Yeah. And then, he comes home.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, ask him yourself.
I know. And she's asking, he's like, I don't know any woman like that. Da, 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 you know, like, and so
Molly has the brilliant idea.
Exactly.
This scene is so good.
Molly pulls out her phone and calls Noah's cell phone and it rings in his pocket.
And it's the Golden Girls theme song.
It is really funny. Thank you for being a friend. And so what happens? So Molly looks at him, like, realizes he obviously had taken her, and then bam, she gets knocked out from behind from his wife, who obviously is working
with
him.
Which really pissed me off. But here's the side note. I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead.
So
when the wife takes a shower,
you see that she's missing a leg.
She's missing a leg, but she's gorgeous. And I feel like there's other parts missing or something's happening. Yeah,
I think there's like some stunt, but what you put together is that the wife used to be one of the girls he was holding in captivity, and he must have developed some liking for her and formed a family with her, but she used to be one of his prisoners, which makes you think as a viewer, oh, okay, maybe he does have the capacity to fall for the women he's taking, so maybe Noah has a chance to like woo him. So anyway, poor Molly gets taken in captivity also, put in a cell. And Noah is, yeah, as you were saying, Noah pretends to, like, be interested in what you know, human flesh tastes like. And he, like, has dinner with her, and he gives her, it looks almost like a meatball.
It looks like a meatball, and she eats it, which is, as a viewer, it's really hard to watch. And he's like, you're eating a $30,000 meal.
Yes, and he's
and
like,
and gross.
Oh, and her name was, what was it? It was like, well, Melissa was the other one, but it was the first one was Hope.
Hope. And then he goes, can you believe it, Hope? How
and
hilarious.
And he's like, how funny, and he's laughing at it. And she has to play along and she's laughing with it, and as soon as he brings her back to her cell, she throws it all
off. She's like, bleh. What a waste of $30,000.
$30,000 me. And anyway, she still continues to try to develop a connection with him, and finally,
what other choice does she have?
No, she doesn't, but like he gives her a dress and he says, do you want to have dinner
with
me?
Which is a hideous dress, by the way.
It is hideous. It's like this pink dress that looks like an 80s prom dress.
Yeah, and so they drink and she eats it again, and then they dance.
Oh, but they eat its breast meat this time. And she's, and he says it's from Melissa. Now, Melissa was the crazy girl she heard singing in the cell across.
So
she's
sad.
Like, oh, my God. But she eats that. Yes, they dance. And then there's this.
Then he opens up behind this picture. He's got all these little squares of all the girls, like sunglasses or a Walkman or a scarf.
And all their personal items of the girls he's, you know, taking captive. And she sees pictures of all of the girls. She also then at that point sees Molly's phone is there in there. So she realizes, oh shit, Molly has been taken from him,
which
too.
Is, I don't know how, me personally, if I saw like my friend's phone, I don't know what I would have do. I don't know.
I think at this point you're so crazed and you're just like, now I have to get out so I can save these people. But there's this great part where she kind of convinces him into not handcuffing her again and starts making out with him, thinks that he's going to have sex with her.
Gosh.
And she goes to go down on him.
Gives him a
to
BJ.
Go goes to start giving him a BJ and then bites. I don't know if she bites his dick off, bites his balls, but just bites down and he starts screaming.
Her face is covered in blood. And as a viewer, you were like, gross, but good job.
Gross, but you're like so happy. And so she gets up and runs, and she runs right away.
Well, she locks him in.
Yes, and she runs and opens this Penny cell, and you see Penny for the first time. She only has one leg, and she has like bandage on her head.
Does she only have one eye?
I don't remember exactly. She,
anyway.
But she did have a bandage around there, but she's fucked up, but she just has to hop on one leg, and then she gets Molly out, and they're all trying to get out, but he
is struggling.
So
these three women have to go up this huge staircase.
Oh my God. And they're helping Penny, only has one leg, but he gets out from where he was locked and, you know, he's bleeding from the crotch.
So they're all in the kitchen and they have like this fight, and it's so good. It's so satisfying. They're beating him up.
It really is, because at this whole time, even the women are talking about like, all I want to do is hurt this guy who's doing this to
and
these
women.
And
as a
women.
Viewer, you want to see him get his comeuppance.
You want to see him get his ass kicked. And boy, like Tim was saying, the fight in the kitchen, they're like hitting him with things, and every time one of the girls you think is going to be overpowered by him, another girl helps, and like, they finally get him. They like knock him the fuck out. And it's a total teamwork between the three girls.
Yes.
Even the girl Penny with one leg helps and stabs him and stuff. And
she gets him in the leg really good.
Yes. But the one mistake is they don't finish him off in there, and they leave together.
So
and
they're
him in
the woods, and like he gets out, you know, running around with a bloody balls.
And he gets a gun though.
Yeah.
And he's going out. He's totally fucked up because he's been beaten up. His crotch has been bit. He has his gun and he's just shooting everywhere. The girls are trying to hide, whatever.
So then he like is knocked out.
They have another like scuffle, and they are able to, the three of them overpower him. They get the gun. And what I love is that Noah has the last line to him. She says, because earlier in the film, he says to her when she's like handcuffed, come on, give me a little smile. So she holds the gun at him and she says, come on, give me a little smile. And he smiles, and then she shoots him
in
the head. Blows his brains out and is so satisfying.
It is so good. But the movie's not over yet.
Not over yet, because guess who comes looking
for
him?
His demented blonde and beautiful wife.
Beautiful wife, who you would think at that point is
like, hey, I'm sympathetic. I've gone through what you guys have gone through.
Exactly. I thought, is this girl ever going to snap out of, I guess it's the Stockholm syndrome.
She's so brainwashed that she's like, I'm so pissed you took him out. I'm going to take you ladies out.
The best is when she, though, sees him dead. She has no reaction. Like, I don't know if this woman has any emotions.
She's like, we got to take care of this.
Yeah, so she goes after the women. And there's a big, like, fight between her and Noah where she's, like, strangling Noah.
You owe me a Coke.
You can totally tell that she knows that Noah is, like, what she was, like, because her husband had taken
It was almost like a jealousy fight.
It was totally a jealousy fight. And she's strangling her. And you're like, oh, my God, is she going to strangle Noah? And who slams her from behind?
Molly, is it a shovel?
But then she finally, talk about finishing off, she shovels her over and over in the head till, like, her head is just mush.
It was disgusting. But also satisfying.
You're told that's exactly what I was going to... Why are we sharing the same brain today?
Can I have it back?
We keep saying the same word at the same time. I was going to say it was disgusting, but it was so satisfying. It really is, because for all the times in the fight at the beginning when you're like, you got to finish him off or he's going to come back, they finish them off. I mean, he gets shot in the head. There was another guy
there that the wife was with, but he had like a long braid, but he never came into play.
I think he's just a worker, and as soon as things go awry and you're not responsible for it, you just get the hell
out. Had to, you know, deliver those boxes of body parts, apparently.
But the thing is that it has a funny sort of ending, because as Molly and Noah are just sitting there, like, they're so happy they got through it, it's really this full circle moment, because Noah gets a text from that asshole from the very beginning of the film, and it says, you up? Like, he, after calling her a bitch, like, now he's gonna contact her, and it's just such, like, a great...
Callback
and commentary on the dating world and how
people
can be such assholes, but then when they're horny, they're like gonna contact you.
Oh,
you
of
know?
Course. I mean, I think I'm experiencing that now because I've been off all of the apps because I've been watching Uncut Gems.
But are you? Nobody knows what that is.
Everyone knows what that is.
It's just so funny because, like, yeah, it's like, of course, when the guy wants a booty call, he's gonna contact her. But overall, like, I loved this movie.
I did too. And the music in it is all from the 80s. I loved it. I really did. I mean, I don't know if I'm eager to watch it again, but I really loved it.
I would definitely watch it again at some point. Like, again, this is what I'll say for people like my mom who may be like, ooh, cannibalism, it's gross. Again, and I know we already said this, but it handles in a way where it's not just gore, gore, gore. There are some uncomfortable scenes when they're eating and you're thinking it's meat.
It's such a weird thing to make a movie that's stylish about cannibalism.
I think they didn't want to go full on gore. It's just smart. That's the word I would use to make it smart.
I guess the takeaway for the movie is, you know, listen to the red flags.
Yeah, well, pay attention to the red flags and never trust anyone too soon, even if they seem great. Because that's the thing. Like, sometimes the people that seem the greatest turn out to be the absolute worst.
Right.
Like, not saying the guy at the beginning was a good guy in any way, but even though he was a total dick, I'm sure he wasn't going to take her captive and eat her.
But sell her body parts.
Exactly. I just thought it was so well done in terms of all the performances were great. Sebastian Stan was great. The girl, Daisy Edgar-Jones, was great. Molly, who was the actress that played Molly?
Yeah, the casting was great. Everyone was great.
Jonica Gibbs was great. And for a long running time, you're entertained the whole time. And talk about a movie that has a satisfying ending. I mean, you are so happy at this ending. You are just like, fuck yeah, at this ending. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, because he's such an asshole and so, like, doing whatever just to make money, doesn't care about these women, keeping them captive, thinks he's, like, totally in control. And seeing the three girls, including the girl Penny, you're so happy that she makes it, because I thought she was going to be killed.
Me too. And I knew the reveal of Penny would be her having less body parts.
I actually thought she was going to be just like a torso or something.
What was that movie? Really?
Boxing Helena.
Helena with Julian Sands and my gosh.
And Sherilyn Fenn. I thought that she was going to be like a torso, so thank God she wasn't. But yeah, if you can imagine a cannibal movie having a happy ending.
There you go.
I mean, but it's so much better than when you think cannibal like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or like gross like Saw. It's not like that. It's smart. It's fresh.
It's very fresh. And you know, it's directed by a woman and written by a woman. So you know what?
Good.
They're on the pulse.
I could not recommend this movie enough. Like, again, It is a long runtime, and don't be discouraged that the first 35 minutes are just kind of like a dating rom-com thing. They're just getting you in that.
I think that gets you into the mind space.
Yeah, it is. They're just getting you in that mind space of, oh, it's dating and just like lighthearted. And then it just completely turns and it's totally a horror movie. And so, again, like I really think, and the fact that it's available on Hulu, like you can watch it.
Everyone's got the Hulu, right?
Everyone's got the Hulu.
Even I have got Hulu and I don't got nothing.
You don't got nothing. It was just really great. And I think that, again, just from hearing from people about this before we even reviewed it.
A lot of people text messaged me and said, be sure to watch Fresh.
Yeah, and I heard the same. And like, I just was like, wow, I didn't know this. And again, Tim and I are never the types like, oh, everyone's liking it, so we like it. Like, no. If we didn't like it, we'd tell you.
And you know what's living proof? The next movie we're going to
watch. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Well, and that's probably a good transition because I feel like we could talk about Fresh forever. So,
because we know we want to keep it fresh.
We want to keep it fresh. So we have movies that are very different than Fresh. Another movie that we watch, which is very, very different feel and everything. It's just available on demand. It's called Off Season. And talk about very different. This movie, it opens with this creepy scene of this older woman talking about how you can't run from your nightmares. She learned that, and then she like screams, and then suddenly it switches to the main woman, who is Marie, played by Jocelyn Donahue.
She's been in a lot of my favorite films. She was in The House of the Devil. The House of the Devil is her big one, but I mean, she's also in Doctor Sleep. She plays Lucy Stone.
And House of the Devil, I totally remember her in. Yeah. Well, the thing is that right away, like the main plot is that this girl, the woman at the beginning was her mother. Her mother had died, and she receives a letter that says her mom's grave was vandalized and she needs to come to this island off the coast of Florida where her mom's grave is, like as soon as possible because her mom's grave was vandalized. And right away, like when she comes to this island, she goes with her husband. And I will say, in terms of setting the scene, everything in this film looks creepy.
Yeah, like they did a good job setting up every set
set
was beautiful.
Whoever the art director was on this film, everything from the fog to like the cinematography, from everything is set. Like, it's like a haunted house. It feels gray. It feels dark.
And we talked through this entire film. The lead actress is so gorgeous. And looks like, we thought she looked like so many different actresses.
Like either Margot Kidder in the 70s.
Jennifer Aniston.
Or who else did we say?
Jennifer Love Hewitt,
a little bit of Daniel Harris.
Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder.
Did you already say that? Yeah. Oh my gosh, my memory is, oh my God.
You always do that.
I'm so embarrassed.
Look, Margot Kidder. Did we say Margot Kidder?
Hey, Margot Kidder.
Tell me about Margot Kidder.
Oh, okay. Well, I think she kind of looks like Margot Kidder.
Yeah, I totally agree. Margot Kidder.
Kidder.
Anyway, so they go into this island, and right away when she crosses, they're like, you know, we're only open for another day, and then the bridge goes up, and nobody's allowed on or off the island till spring, aka off season.
Did it kind of remind you of the original Night of the Living Dead in black and white, with like the guy and the girl going to visit a grave?
It reminded me a lot of things. That yes. It has this very shining, like,
yes,
desolate atmosphere. The music feels like it's kind of old-timey. Like maybe 1940s, like jazz music.
Oh, one thing we noticed is the two lead characters, it's her and her boyfriend, they don't have cell phones, right?
No, which makes me think it takes place maybe before cell phones, so maybe the 80s, 90s. They're not really clear, but everything is creepy in this movie. I will say it's hard to describe the story in this because there wasn't a lot of story.
The movie definitely puts you in a position where you as the viewer, yes, it does have a story, and yes, it does have an ending, but there's a
very
lot
basic
of open,
story.
It's like so open to like, oh, this is what's going on. Oh, this is what's going on.
There's only a few plot points that are even worth like really honing in on. Like they go to the cemetery, they see the grave messed up, and they see this creepy woman who says she's Miss Emily, the town florist, and she just does one of those things where I think it's always creepy when someone just freezes and doesn't move, and the camera just stays on them, and like everyone in this town is creepy. Not to mention the town feels like no one lives there.
Yeah, it's desolate.
Yes, and it's just there's fog everywhere, whatever. her and her husband, I think it's her husband, they go to a bar and they're like, where's the caretaker for the
cemetery?
On the cemetery. Like, no one will tell them. This creepy guy comes up and says, hey, if you want a friend, look for my light. Like, I'll keep my light on for you. Everyone in this town is weird.
Everyone's weird. But the best thing is, like, we're looking for the cemetery, man. We're looking for the cemetery. And then this old guy does like a little dance.
Yeah,
he's
right,
like,
when they...
Why don't you look at the cemetery?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, everyone, like, there's this old woman playing the piano and an old man, like, doing a little jig. And, like, anyway, at this point, they realize they're not going to get in touch with the caretaker. So they're trying to drive back to the bridge to get the fuck out of this island. And so, she tells her husband a story of what happened, and this just felt, I don't know, it felt
and
forced.
Here's the thing, it's the movie kind of comes to a complete halt with her and him at like a stop sign when there's like red on their faces, and she's basically telling you, like, the movie,
hey, this is what the movie's about.
This, hey, like, you've been confused this whole time. We're going to tell you, so listen in.
Exactly. I felt the same way. That's why I felt forced. Like, she's like, it's like insert exposition. And she basically says that
I'm not going to say I fell asleep, but I wasn't paying that close attention.
Well, and I was going to say, if you're watching this movie, this is the whole, like, story of it. But
so
she says that she says that her mom, before she died, told her the story that, like, I guess their family is from this area, and that all, like, a long time ago, all the families, they were dying from plagues or something, and then, like, this demon came out, or this man demon came out of the water, and they made a deal with the demon that to keep them alive, but it meant that they had to all stay there and
for life.
Yeah, and she's telling her husband's like, your mom was crazy, she was about to die, like, she wasn't...
Let's just get in the car and leave.
Yeah, so they try to drive across, and they try to get out before the bridge goes up, but then, like, there's a supernatural element to it, because suddenly their path changes and they can't
get
out.
It's like a dead end, but they were like, wait, there wasn't a dead end, and we didn't get off this road, and, like... Anyways, basically, it's a nightmare.
They get into this car crash, and when she wakes up the next day, her husband's gone.
She's got blood on her hands.
And literally, the next maybe 20 minutes is her just, like, kind of walking through a desolate town.
Oh, my gosh. This is tough on me.
It was just scene after scene of her walking through. Very, very atmospheric. Very,
very
creepy.
Atmospheric.
But she goes from one place to another. She finally remembers, oh, I should hit up that florist.
Right.
And
Miss Emily?
Yes. And she goes, and there is, I think, the creepiest part of the movie is that you see Miss Emily standing
way in the background,
and her eyes are completely white and she's not moving. And
she's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What's wrong with
you?
Well,
the main girl keeps asking her, and nothing. Then there's the other creepy scene, I think, is when she goes back to the bar and all the people are, like, frozen.
That was the best scene in the movie.
They're all not moving.
The rest of the movie, nyang.
Yeah, that there are the scenes when there are people there, but then every time she turns, they're all, like, in a
different
position. They're all behind her or in front of her or watching her, but they're not moving.
Right. I think because you and I are used to Friday 13th, Halloween, you know, things with just faster paces. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think you and I can handle an atmospheric movie, but this is just, it's like on pause.
I'm okay with an atmospheric movie, but something has to happen.
Right. Like,
you know,
I mean, like,
there has to be a story and something has to happen.
I mean, there was a story, but it was just unclear.
It also felt like these were a bunch of creepy scenes that were all put together in a movie, you know? Like,
right, right.
Well, anyway, she finally goes to the light. She finds that guy from the bar in the beginning who said he'll keep the light on. He's like, oh, come here. He's like, don't you know about this town? The demon, you know, while in the off season, the demon uses all the people and as energy sources and like, and but one person has to stay awake and I'm that person. And I'm just like, what? Like,
yeah,
what?
It was nuts. And then vines came through his eyeballs and they burnt on fire.
Yeah, and then the demon took him over and his eyes were white and, burnt on fire. So she's running.
She gets to the bridge.
Yes.
She watches a VHS tape of how to lower the bridge.
Oh, yeah, that was funny because she wants to get out of there. And then she sees her husband, but her husband has obviously been taken over by the demon because his eyes are white and he's talking to her, but it's like
a demon voice.
And he's like, oh, it's better this way. You know, like all demons say, like, basically, I think the demon wants to use her for an energy source.
Blew him away.
So he comes after her. Yeah, she shoots him. She shoots her own husband, but I guess he was already dead. I guess you're supposed to, this is what I got, that all the people that are there during the off season are really just dead and being used as energy sources by the demon. And so aren't really in control when the demon's using them. I don't know.
I love that. You're giving me a lot of insight.
I mean, what a did you think? You're like, I didn't even think about
no,
that.
No, I mean, like, I thought there was that big story, which you just said, but I just was like, I just,
like,
I wanted,
don't even care.
No, enough. I just, that's the thing. I think somewhere along, I thought the lead girl's so good and she's so pretty and I really enjoyed just seeing, she's so mesmerizing on screen and like, she's got big eyes. So you're like interested in, you know, she makes you interested in what's going on. But the fact is, nothing's
going
really
on.
Going on.
Sounds like you were more interested in watching her, Tim.
I was. I,
Tim,
you know,
had
what?
A lady crush.
I did.
No, she is very beautiful and her performance was good. But like, anyway, after this,
she has a really hard job to make you interested in what's going on. It's just a person walking around an old town.
It really is. And after that, she can't get off the island. Finally, like, she gets to and I don't remember exactly, but she gets to the beach and all of the people of the town are like behind her, you know, but every time they're never moving, they're just there. And she looks into the ocean. She sees,
it looks like a big tree with like,
oh, we
tentacles?
Skipped the part where she sees her mom of the casket, but her mom's possessed and her mom's getting pulled into the ocean. And then she sees this big demon coming out of the ocean, but it looks like a tree.
And then her eyes turn white.
Well, and then she says, I finally see it. And her eyes turn white. And I guess this is just what I think, is that you're supposed to think that she's finally let the demon take her over too.
Right.
And it switches to the epilogue, and it's a new couple that's going into the flower shop. And guess who runs the flower shop now?
The lead actress,
Marie,
in the film.
Jocelyn Donahue. And she's telling them, oh, you know, you have to get out before the bridge goes up.
She goes, I want to live here forever. And she goes, no, you don't.
Yeah, she's like, no, you don't. Meaning, like, I don't know if you're supposed to think she's held captive. I guess you are held captive by the demon.
And then she looks at the camera.
But then they do the cheesiest ending. Yeah,
like Zach on Saved by the Bell.
She walks outside. And she looks at the camera, like breaks the fourth wall and smiles. And I'm sorry, like, I hate when people do that. There's a lot of movies, like, it's almost like a wink to
Ferris
the audience.
Bueller, yeah.
Like this isn't Ferris Bueller and it's not Saved by the Bell. So
a movie that creepy,
don't end
that
like
that. Been better.
That would have been better if we had watched
Zach
Ferris.
And Ferris were stuck on the island.
And they're like, wait, where's my mother's grave?
Right. Well, I mean, the aspect of the mother's grave and the flashbacks between her and her mother and the mother smoking, like, don't call me ma.
Yeah,
kind of interesting.
Anyway, all in all, it was a little bit of a mess story-wise. Again, I truly believe they were like, I want to create a really creepy atmosphere and
they accomplished
that. They did. That's what I'm saying. But I think they thought that through and maybe they didn't think
the
story.
They were like, oh, story. Oh, yeah, we got to get that too.
And I just feel like it just really lacked on story. And again, so much of it was just her walking through the creepy town.
Yes, it was just, but thank gosh it was such an interesting actress, because could you imagine it being in like another actress's hands?
No, but that and the cinematography and the art direction was all I felt like it had going for it. So I don't know. We rented this because
I'm guessing they didn't have like Steven Spielberg's budget. So I'm, you know, good job.
Yes,
to the
they
film.
Did.
Oh, they did. You're right. You're right. They had millions.
But story doesn't cost anything.
I know. Look at the Blair Witch.
Story doesn't cost anything.
You're right.
I just feel like, yeah, I think that it was a very loose story that like didn't quite work. I think that not a lot happened, and even though you can set up a really creepy atmosphere, and again, like you said, there's a couple scenes, mostly when the people are possessed, that are creepy and really effective. If they had connected it with a better story, right, it probably would have worked.
It needed some connection, and I will say this. I know that we're doing these two films, and it's tough to compare the two, because, you know, Fresh is so slick and awesome and just on it and edited.
And smart. I know
smart.
I keep saying that, but it's just smart. It was well done.
These are two different kind of films. I feel bad even comparing the two.
No, and we don't have to compare the two. I mean, obviously, if you're going to talk about
films are fresh in my mind.
If you're talking about the two films, obviously, I think we both would recommend Fresh
Off season.
I think we would recommend Fresh. I don't know if I would say go out and search for Off-Season. I mean, like,
you can. You'll be just like the actress wandering around town.
You'll be like in a daze whole
time.
Like,
what the fuck?
I just think that there was a lot. Again, I think a lot of people, apparently it's been rated really well, but I'm thinking that people are rating it more on like the creepy atmosphere than
it's
a really scary movie.
I think it'd be good to have on a big screen at a Halloween party. It's just beautiful images.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like it's like, you know, when you, for Halloween parties, you can get like background, like,
oh my God, we just called graphics. A movie background.
Well, but I mean, it would be really great as background graphics. Like, it really would. It just, there wasn't a lot that pulled me into it. I feel bad to say.
I know. But you know what? I want to say this. Good job to the filmmakers, because, you know, it's hard to make a movie.
That's what?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
well, then you could say that to every single filmmaker of every film.
That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Yes, but your opinion of the movie?
Oof,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that, yes, maybe it's tough because we're reviewing at the same time as Fresh, and we loved Fresh so much, like, but it just didn't hold up to what I was hoping for this. Mm-hmm. And I think, like...
And you really have to listen, because the story is a head-scratcher.
Head-scratcher. Knee-slapper.
Mm-hmm. No, I was not
shoulder
laughing.
Shoulder-swaffer.
No, I had no shoulder action.
And the poor husband...
Got shot.
Well, he... But I mean, like, he came along just
Let's
to, like, help her.
Let's talk about the husband.
I knew you were going to say that. He came along just to, like, kind of help her out, going and, like, look what he does. He gets taken over by a demon and shot in the head.
Well, he was kind of like... He goes, why didn't you tell me this earlier? And then he kind of came around and was like... He goes, okay, let's get out of here. I mean, like, he was kind of sympathetic.
That's also another thing. From the beginning, as soon as they heard that the bridge was going to be going up soon, I would have been like, I'll take care of this later, or let's do it. And if we don't find the caretaker of the cemetery right away, get the... Like, number one priority should have been getting out of that town. The one thing we forgot to mention is that the whole time she's always talking about how the will said that she should be buried there, but the mom consistently up until her death said, never take me back there, never bury me there. So you're supposed to assume that supernaturally it changed.
There was a weird scene where she was talking to the people that take care of the will, and they're like, sorry.
Well, apparently, I guess supernaturally, the will was changed, because I'm just guessing, because the pact that all the families made with this demon, you can try to escape, but you'll be pulled back there, and AKA her will changed, and then she was buried there. I don't know. I'm thinking way too much about
story. And you know what? Don't.
I know. So anyway, you definitely got to, if you haven't seen Fresh, definitely check out Fresh. Off season, look at some pictures of it.
Look at a few pictures online and call it a day.
Yeah. I think that about sums it up. What do you think, Tim?
Well, Matt, that was so fun. Keep it fresh.
Okay, but only during the, I wanted to say only during the off season. No,
you
but
can.
Not. Look, I'm going to keep it fresh even during the off season, Tim.
Wow, you had to top me.
Ew! Okay, thanks everyone for listening. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.